From WBUR Boston and WRNI Providence, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Tax cuts lie at the heart of President Bush's economic stimulus package. Tax cuts on stock dividends and income tax cuts that Democrats say largely benefit the country's wealthiest. But it's another tax reform on the Bush administration agenda, the repeal of the estate tax paid on inherited fortunes, that has even some of the country's richest tycoons up in arms. Warren Buffett, Ted Turner, and most famously William Gates Sr., father of America's richest man, have all said the estate tax should stay. In this hour, the estate tax war. William Gates Sr. is father of Microsoft founder Bill Gates and is head of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. He's also spearheading an effort to preserve the estate tax and is co-author of the new book, Wealth and Our Commonwealth, Why Americans Should Tax Accumulated Fortunes. I asked him if repeal of the estate tax remains a central goal for the Bush administration.
I think that it is, yes. There seems to be no real change afoot in the United States Senate anyway, and that would certainly be the strongest evidence.
William Gates, you belong to perhaps the richest family in America. Why are you opposed to the estate tax?
Okay, well, let me say, first of all, I am the father of what may be one of the richest men in America, which is a little different than the reference to the family.
It is a
bit. But having carped with you a little, and I pardon me for that. You know, there are an array of reasons. It seems to me the two preeminent ones are, first of all, the fact that we are going into a series, again, of heavy deficit years of spending in the U.S. Treasury. And it seems pretty weird that in the face of that really unavoidable downturn that we're talking about eliminating a tax, which seems to me to be one that's extremely fair and, you know, imposed at the most opportune of times. And, you know, the money isn't being collected from the estate tax. It's going to have to come from somewhere else. And that somewhere else is surely, presumably, the income tax or some other place where folks with less means are going to pay it.
Of course, opponents of the estate tax say that it's not that significant in terms of overall revenue for the federal government, that it's less than a point and a half of federal revenues. And I guess beyond that, I wonder, is it really a matter of balancing the budget that is foremost in your mind? Is that the major concern that you bring to the table?
My concern is that we've got to pay these taxes. We have this deficit, and I'm not sure we're going to balance the budget for that matter, but to me it's an issue of who's going to do it. And I think that the who that should do it are the people who have had the wonderful good fortune to live in this country and be so successful that they've accumulated estates of more than, you know, $7, $8, $10 million where the exemption level will be going. That's what concerns me. It's a question of who's going to pay the piper.
President Bush and other opponents of the estate tax would say this money doesn't belong to the government. It belongs to the individuals. They've made it. They deserve to pass it on to their family as a matter of fairness.
Well, I mean, this is just lingo. I don't know of anybody who thinks, and if they do, it's unrealistic to think, that we own things absolutely. We own things. We do things in our daily lives, every one of which is subject to some government impost, because we have to have a government. And as a matter of fact, what seems to be overlooked here is that we have a wonderful government. You know, you ask yourself about the wealthy people who are wanting to get rid of the estate tax. If only they had been born in Nigeria, where would they be? The reason people are so successful and so wealthy is they live in a society that is so orderly, that contributes so greatly to a wonderful, robust economy, and I say that even in January 2003. Mm-hmm. And it's that economy that produces wealth. And without it, I don't care how hard you work, how innovative, how smart, even how lucky, you're not going to have people with the kind of wealth that we do in this country.
So you're saying if your son, Bill Gates, would have been born in Nigeria to something other than wealthy conditions, he might never have achieved what he's achieved.
No way.
And yet, William Gates, you know that a pretty fair majority of Americans oppose the estate tax, would like to see it abolished, the polls indicate. Why do you think that is?
Oh, that's very simple. The the several rich, very rich families who wanted to eliminate the estate tax have been working at it for 10 years. They've been out on the field scoring points in expensive and enormously effective public relations effort. And the fact of the matter is that in this country, you can actually create an attitude on the part of the public if you've got enough time and money. And that's exactly where we are. And those of us who are concerned about the tax being repealed are late on the field.
You are opposed to abolition of the estate tax, but you would like to see reforms. What's the essential reform you'd like to see?
I'm very comfortable with the notion of enlarging the exemptions. The current law will, in a few years, get to an exemption of $3.5 million for every individual, which would be $7 million for a family. And those numbers, for instance, are comfortable to me. I think it is true that we've got an awful lot of people with homes that have increased in value in one thing or another, where it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to subject them to the tax. And with that exemption, you know, the number of people, the number of decedents who would be confronted with an estate tax gets down to a number which is under a half of 1% of Americans.
William Gitt, you must find yourself on occasion in the company of wealthy Americans whose fortunes will be very much affected by whether or not this tax is abolished. Do they look cross-eyed at you and say, what on earth are you doing?
Well, the answer to that, Tom, is that a good many of them compliment me on what I'm doing, and a good many of them just don't say anything.
Mm-hmm. And you're left to
polite people.
You're left to interpret that.
Yes, I interpret that, I'm sure, accurately. They're not enthusiastic about what I'm doing.
And as you pointed out at the beginning of our conversation, you are the father of one of the country's wealthiest men, not the son. If you were Bill Gates III, William Gates III, instead of William Gates Sr., do you think your view might be different if you were standing to inherit those billions your son has made?
Tom, I am positive I would not feel differently. And I can tell you that my daughters, who do have a stake in this, do not feel differently.
And what about your son?
He agrees with me as well. He agrees wholeheartedly.
Well, there we go. If this tax is anyway abolished, what effect do you think it will have on American economics, on American society?
Well, we're going to have to raise some more money somewhere else. And I'm really uncomfortable with the possibilities of an aristocracy in this country. We have generated, as everybody knows, this enormous disparity in the wealth equation in this country. We have this very small number at the top, which control a huge percentage of the assets of America, and that gives me a lot of concern. Louis Brandeis said, we can have a lot of wealth concentrated in a few people, or we can have a democracy. But we can't have both. And I agree with that. It gives me a lot of apprehension.
And can we have entrepreneurs and capitalists who robustly build companies and fortunes and create jobs and economic growth when they look forward to a significant estate tax?
Okay, yeah, significant. After the $7 million and at some collection rate in the neighborhood of 30% or something of that kind, so leaving still a whole lot of money to their families, my answer your question is absolutely yes. I just don't think that entrepreneurs get up in the morning and say, man, I got to go out and work today so I can make some money for my kids. I don't really think that is the motivation.
William Gates, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
William Gates Sr., father of Microsoft founder Bill Gates, is co-author of Wealth and Our Commonwealth, Why Americans Should Tax Accumulated Fortunes. He spoke with us from Seattle. The majority of Americans oppose the estate tax. Conservative opponents call it the death tax, an unfair penalty on accumulated wealth. But those fighting for its preservation say its repeal would give the rich an unfair advantage and reward undeserving heirs, even create an hereditary American aristocracy. Does the estate tax deserve to go, or should it be preserved? Should those who benefit the most from a nation's bounty give the most back, or is keeping the estate tax fundamentally unfair? You can join the conversation tonight at 1-800-4-7-7. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from Rochester, New York, is David K. Johnston, business reporter with the New York Times and author of the forthcoming book, Perfectly Legal, The Untold Story of the Campaign to Cheat 99% of America. David K. Johnston, that's a title with no shortage of attitude. You're a tell-it-like-it-is reporter. Are you out to save the estate tax?
No, not at all. We can have or not have an estate tax. But the debate that we're having about the estate tax has not been an honest debate about the real sort of issues, some of which Mr. Gates raised. But a lot of what's been said about the estate tax is not true, and we haven't examined in this debate some of the, I think, very smart suggestions for how to reform it, and the consequences of large amounts of money that fall through the income tax system.
Mm-hmm.
Which has a lot of porousness to it, never being taxed if we repeal the estate tax.
David K. Johnston, get us centered here in the context of what's going on now. Where does the estate tax stand at the moment? What's on the table as a proposal for changing it? How big a head of steam does it have? Get us okay. Centered here.
Well, when President Bush campaigned on this issue, he kept saying, you know, we're going to save the family farm, and I hope we'll come back to that later.
Mm-hmm.
But he also argued that we could have these large tax cuts because there was a projection for gigantic budget surpluses as far as the eye could see.
Okay.
The administration now acknowledges those are gone. We're running deficits. Clearly, if your justification was affording a repeal of the estate tax, the ballgame has changed. That's number one.
All right.
Now, secondly, the fundamental drive by the president is to make the estate tax repeal permanent. The 2001 tax cuts were one of the strangest pieces of legislation ever passed, and they were designed to fit rules about spending. So that in the year 2010,
mm-hmm.
the estate tax is repealed, and in the year 2011, it is restored.
Back from the grave.
That's right. And as Paul Krugman, you know, has observed, this will raise questions in families absolutely undoubtedly about do you pull the plug on mama in December of 2010?
This sure would be a big incentive in some American families.
I think it's absolutely that somewhere out there, knowing all the variety of human experience, there in fact will be people who, if the current law were to sit the way it is, will knock somebody off.
But of course, we know that within the Bush administration, there's a great desire to see that repeal of the estate tax become permanent, never go away.
That's correct. And the drive now is to do exactly that, to make it a permanent change. Now, the president did make one very major and important change in his proposal after I wrote a story in the front page of the New York Times about
mm-hmm.
it. The president's original plan was outright repeal. When you think of the tax system in America, you have to recognize that it's sort of like a game of pickup sticks. The corporate income tax, the individual income tax, the estate tax, the gift tax, all are interconnected. If you move one, other things move.
Okay, so what moves
so
if we change the estate tax?
So if you did the president's original proposal,
mm-hmm.
as it was when it was finally reduced to a bill.
Outright repeal.
That's right. You would have allowed very wealthy people to escape income taxes by essentially renting out the tax status of their poor relatives, a problem that Congress dealt with in 1924 when a Republican from Iowa, Congressman Green, the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee,
mm-hmm.
brought it to the floor and
mm-hmm.
said that this was a much bigger problem, avoidance of the income tax through gift tax manipulation, than the estate tax. The president eventually changed his plan on this.
Because they'd be paying no estate tax or any other kind of tax on the vast assets that they acquired.
As he originally proposed
mm-hmm.
it. Now
all
the
right.
plan has been changed to something that's very administratively complex. And remember, there's a lot of noise also about let's simplify the tax system.
Yeah, a lot of noise, but not much movement lately.
Right. Since the Republicans in 1995 said they were going to tear the tax system out by its roots,
mm-hmm.
they have in fact made it immensely more complicated.
Mm-hmm.
And the Democrats have played along with that. The plan now is that you would have something called carryover basis, so that if, let's say, my father were leaving me a company that makes fire engines
okay.
and it's got $100 million of gain that would be taxable, no tax will be owed unless I sell the company.
And then you'll pay
that
a capital gains tax.
That's correct. Although, if repeal is made permanent, I'm sure we're going to see an enormous explosion of ways to get around that tax. As
David K. Johnston, we've got to take a short break. There's a lot more we want to learn about this tax and the debate around it. We're talking about the estate tax tonight. Should the U.S. repeal the estate tax? Is it the estate tax or the death tax in your house? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Join us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about the estate tax debate, or what George Bush calls the death tax. My guest tonight is David K. Johnston, business reporter with the New York Times and author of the forthcoming book, Perfectly Legal, The Untold Story of the Campaign to Cheat, 99% of America. You can join this conversation. Does an end to the estate tax mean fairness? Or does it mean an American aristocracy? If Johnny's dad is rich, does Johnny deserve to be rich? Join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. David K. Johnston, I want to get back to a very, very simple ABC here. Today, if someone dies and leaves their estate, is it all taxed? Is part of it taxed? Where does it stand right now?
Only about 2% of people who die each year are subject to the estate tax.
And why is that?
Because the tax exempts the first $1 million for each person, and if you do a bit of planning, $2 million. Now, one of the very simple things Congress could do or could have done, and it's a good example of how the Democrats have not been thoughtful about tax policy at all, is they could have a rule that says that you don't have to plan in advance for the death of your spouse, that when your spouse dies, you file a form with the government, my spouse died, instead of a $1 million exemption, I get a $2 million exemption. That's all you need to do. Check a box, the government keeps it on file permanently.
But your point is, today, only 2% of Americans leave that million or $2 million that is subject to the estate tax.
That was actually when the levels were lower, when it was $675,000 per person. Only 2% were affected. So the number will go down. If you go to $5 million as a threshold, you will end up with maybe 3,000 estates a year.
So that's where you get your 99% of America. You're saying 99% of Americans are not affected by this.
That's correct. Although my book is not about the estate tax. It is about a whole variety of things that have happened in Washington that both the Republicans and Democrats have done. Many of them never reported on in the press because they're very complicated. But that have shifted risk and costs onto ordinary people, most Americans, 99% of the public.
And what's your view of why this issue around the estate tax or the death tax, as the Bush camp would have it, why has it become such a hot issue in recent years?
Well, 10 years ago, you would have gone to Capitol Hill, anybody would have told you there's no chance of repealing it. A small group of families put up a lot of money and ran a long campaign, and a lot of the campaign, frankly, on this issue has been very, very dishonest. And let me go back to the farm issue that I mentioned.
All right.
President Bush on the stump and numerous politicians have said we have to repeal the estate tax to save the family farm. I asked the White House and the American Farm Bureau Federation to give me an example. I went out to Iowa for a week and interviewed farmers, all of them Republicans and many of them local elected officials. We couldn't find an example. Professor Neil Harrell, who is the leading advisor on estate tax matters to farmers in the Midwest, has never been able to find a case in his life.
I hate to disappoint you, David K. Johnston, but as the native son of a small farm, I saw my family struggle enormously to pay estate taxes on that farm. They didn't but it took 15 years to pay the tax burden.
I understand that, but that's not – the president has said lose the farm. But furthermore, let me point out the average value of farms in America – is below the exemption for the estate tax, and the people who actually pay the estate tax, according to the government's own reports, are overwhelmingly gentlemen farmers. The biggest farmer in America is Ted Turner. He will pay a lot of estate
tax. Quote, unquote.
Yeah, lots of – I mean, none of these Republican officials, many of them laughed and said, though, this is ridiculous. This isn't about us. We want higher farm prices, and to get rid of the subsidy system that's hurting us, we want real higher farm prices. We're not worried about the estate tax. After our story ran, the Farm Bureau Federation sent out a notice pleading, please find us a case that we can give the news media. They couldn't. Other reporters went out and replicated and found the same thing that I had found.
What about small businesses then, if not farms?
The president is back saying we have to save the small farm. And that's my point is that's an example of where there are good arguments for getting rid of the estate tax. That's a dishonest argument.
What about small businesses? The guy who has a Coca-Cola bottling distributor.
Okay. The current law gives an exemption up to a certain amount. But if you're worth, let's say, $30 million in your business or more, it doesn't do you any good. Now, Frank Blethen, the publisher of the Seattle Times, one of the few non-corporate-owned newspapers in America, has made one of the best arguments for keeping the estate tax. He says, if you like corporate ownership, if you want godless, immoral, publicly traded corporations, amoral, to run America, then you want the estate tax, because in the cycle of a family-owned business, many people will ultimately sell out to this publicly traded companies.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put a rule in that says as long as the company keeps the family keeps the business, they can defer a capital gains tax.
Then they're very much more likely to keep it.
They are much more likely to keep it. You will have more family-owned businesses. That's a legitimate, real issue, and it's one that's hardly being debated in this.
David K. Johnston, stand by. I want to welcome
sure.
a couple of gentlemen into our conversation. William Beach joins us tonight from Fairfax, Virginia. He's director of the Center for Data Analysis at the Heritage Foundation. Good evening and welcome, William Beach.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
And Leonard Berman joins us from Arlington, Virginia. He's senior fellow at the Urban Institute and co-director of the Tax Policy Center, a joint venture of the Urban Institute and the Brookings Institution. He was Treasury Deputy Assistant Secretary for Tax Analysis from 1998 to 2000. Good evening and welcome, Leonard Berman.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
William Beach, to you first, if I may. You are staunchly on the side of repeal of the estate tax. Why?
Well, absolutely. We make the argument on several fronts. I was amused to hear David talk about the fact that he couldn't find farmers. We've had farmers lining up to testify for years in front of the Ag Committee in the Senate and the House. Basically, the reason that we have, Tom, so much opposition now in this country is that I think the general public understands that this is a tax basically on virtue. You have a population
tax on virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning?
Well, you have a population that that grows up in this country or immigrates to this country under the assurance that if they work hard, they save their money, if they're entrepreneurs, if they're successful people, then the fruits, less the income tax, will be theirs to keep. But so often we see people waking up when they're 57 years old or something and discovering, because the accountant just told them, or a lawyer, there's this estate tax. No planning. They have a small business. They have a home. They're going to be liable. They have assets that they think by the time they retire will be above $1 million. And not enough time to actually make the plan that others who are perhaps better informed because they have more assets at their command can do. It strikes so many people who will never be touched directly by the estate tax, never have to file for them. It's simply not the kind of America that we need to have.
William Beach, David K. Johnston points out that it's less than 2% of Americans who will be affected by it. William Gates Sr. said earlier in the hour that, after all, this country provides many amenities and advantages to people. If they do well by it, they ought to put payback in.
Well, and they do, Tom. I mean, the income tax was designed just for that purpose. If you have an estate tax that takes businesses and puts them on the chopping block, it just isn't the family that owns the business that is hurt. It's all the employees that work at the business who will no longer have jobs. And there are many, many instances.
Assuming it's closed instead of sold, you're saying.
That's right. Or if it is sold and then the owner decides not to continue that business, the cost of capital rises because the estate tax lays a tax basically on capital, and that slows the economy and produces fewer jobs than are potentially there if the estate tax was either significantly diminished or not there at all.
Well, Leonard Berman, join us. William Beach makes the case that it's simply not fair. It's not part of the American bargain, and at the end of the day, it's also a drag on the economy to tax estates.
Well, the estate tax probably does have some dampening role in the incentives to save and work among people who are going to be subject to the tax, but it also has a dampening role on the effort to work and save among people who are going to inherit large amounts of money. Andrew Carnegie had a famous conjecture that the parent who leaves his son enormous wealth generally deadens the talents and energies of the son and tempts him to lead a less useful and less worthy life than he otherwise would. He was explaining why he was going to give most of his money to charity,
mm-hmm.
and he was a supporter of the estate tax, like William Gates is now.
Like William Buffett. William Buffett said, the idea that you get a lifetime of privately funded food stamps based on coming out of the right womb strikes at my idea of fairness.
The United States is based on this sort of notion of meritocracy, that people make it on their own, and you know, people can pass things on to their children, wealth and human capital, but they can't pass on enormous fortunes. I mean, I think the estate tax does serve a valuable role in diminishing to some extent, and not all that much, but diminishing to some extent the huge concentrations of wealth and power in the United States.
William Beach, and yet there is, as you point out, and everyone has tonight, there's a concerted effort to repeal this tax, and a lot of people are very excited about the possibility of getting it done. What do you think of the prospects? Can it be? Can the repeal that now expires in 2010 or 11 be made permanent?
Well, I think it can be. The votes are clearly there in the House, and I suspect that the House will bring that legislation early and pass on to the Senate an outright bill that says basically in 2011 the current sunset provision that is reenacting the estate tax will be repealed. There is an effort, Tom, to accelerate the repeal. Senator Kyle has a bill currently in the Senate with a number of co-sponsors to make it effective, the repeal effective in 2005. And I expect the Senate to make the repeal permanent. And one of the reasons why is what both David and Mr. Gates have pointed out. There is, in fact, a mechanism in the law to replace some of the lost revenues with capital gains taxation once the asset has been alienated outside of a family.
And is eventually sold.
That's right. And our own analysis indicates that late in the 10-year budget window that we're currently looking at, that revenues are coming in at a pretty good clip from this carryover basis capital gains taxation. I know that's complex.
But you think it'll make up a good deal of it. Wait, let me ask you this. There's this constant drumbeat of concern underneath this, and from no small number of wealthy Americans, that if we do this, and we've all read about the enormous concentration of wealth in this country,
right,
especially in the last 10 years, that we effectively create a kind of American aristocracy, people who generation after generation have billions showered on them and become a sort of permanent wealthy class. Isn't that exactly what millions of Americans came to this country to escape in Europe?
And the estate tax was in part put in place by populists and progressives early in this decade, in the 20th century, to counteract the concentration of wealth, and particularly the effect that wealthy people have over our political process.
So you're not worried about it anymore, or why
not? I would like a better tool to do it. I mean, the marketplace has been the best tool for disrupting wealth that is not used productively. As you look at the Fortune 500, Fortune 400, families, they're turning over at a rapid rate. David probably has better data on this, but the estate tax has not been a very effective tool. The best tool, Tom, I think, to use for this is a progressive income tax. And because the estate tax undermines economic growth, cuts down jobs and so forth beyond the potential, it actually undermines the income tax. I think it's an antiquated, out-of-date tax from the progressive period. We could do much better by simply getting rid of it now and putting in place other kinds of mechanisms for disrupting reality and redistributing that wealth.
David K. Johnson, what do you make of that argument?
Well, I think Bill's gotten to a couple of the core issues here. Bill said something early on about a tax on capital. I mean, hidden in all the debate on this is that there is a significant drive in this country to eliminate or reduce taxes on capital and only have taxes on labor. You recall Steve Forbes' flat tax.
Yes.
It was a flat tax only on your wages, not on rents, dividends, interest, and capital gains. Now, if we shift to a system of a capital gains tax that's built into your assets, Bill Gates, for example, has a zero basis in his fortune.
Because he founded the company. It was worth nothing when he began.
Well, and he founded it with a money that was a gift from his mother. So it wasn't even money he'd been taxed on, which goes to another one of the dishonest arguments that all of this is money that's already been taxed. The next issue you have to then have is a serious, rigorous law enforcement regime so that you can track and make sure that capital gains tax is paid. And I have exposed in the New York Times now tens of billions of dollars of tax avoidance schemes run by the biggest, most prestigious accounting and law and investment firms in this country.
It is a big business.
And we are cutting and cutting and cutting the budget of the IRS and the ability of the IRS, who are the tax police. They are law enforcement.
So let me ask you this.
To police this. So if you're going to do it, you also have to then have, because you're delaying the tax, a serious enforcement regime.
Which we could well be dubious about. What about this notion of a permanent American aristocracy emerging if we get rid of the estate tax? Do you think that's a real threat, or are we going to see the same kind of turnover in the Fortune 400 families that William Beach is talking about?
Well, you will. I mean, it's like all things. There's a bell curve. There'll be a small number of families who will endure generation after generation with their money, and there'll be others who will come and go. My maternal grandfather died in the early 1950s and left several million dollars. Didn't leave a penny to me. I grew up poor. The son of a 100% disabled veteran. So what? You know, I'm now wealthy because I've saved and invested. You know, people make money and lose money. And the important issue that arises, I think, is one that Warren Buffett has raised. You don't want the son of the current chairman of GE being guaranteed he'll be the next one. You want the train conductor's son named Jack Welch to rise on merit.
Well, we're only guaranteeing capital. We're only repealing a tax on capital. We're not guaranteeing a permanent seat at the chairmanship spot at General Electric, are we?
Well, to the extent that we narrow opportunities to get into schooling, that we do not fund those programs that allow people on merit, even if they're very poor, to get ahead, mm-hmm. yes, then you're raising some fundamental questions about that. But those are larger questions than the tax itself.
David K. Johnston, William Beach, Leonard Bremer, please stand by. A lot of callers want to join us. I want to turn to them. Mark is calling from Boston. Hi, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you?
Well, thanks.
I went through this. Last year, my stepfather died, and he left an estate of $6 million.
Okay.
I have two brothers, and the first simplest division is, gee, each guy gets $2 million, which would be a nice sum of money. I would think that if a guy had $2 million in the bank, you might be able to quit working, live off the interest.
So you were ready for that path. What actually happened?
It sounded good. Well, the government took $2.5 million. And also, as it turns out, something a lot of people don't realize, but to do the paperwork, you pay a lot of accountants and lawyers and bankers, and they took about $300,000 for their valuable services.
So out of the $6 million inheritance and the government taxes and paperwork, what did you end up with?
I ended up with $1 million.
And so do you feel your country has treated you right or treated you wrong?
No, I don't think that's right at all. I mean, he was an honest guy. He did pay taxes all his life. He worked very hard for that money. It was his money. He knew what he wanted to do with it.
And there was a little tax in the way. Leonard Berman, what do you say to this example?
I mean, I think one thing that is overlooked is that a lot of the cost of the estate tax is actually in the tax avoidance and paying the lawyers and everything else. Unfortunately, the proposal or the estate tax repeal that was enacted isn't going to get rid of the need for lawyers. The carryover basis provision is immensely complicated.
But Mark's talking about $2.5 million of the $6 million going straight to taxes, not to lawyers.
My preference would be to raise the exemption by a lot.
You'd like to see Mark's $6 million tax-free?
I guess my preference would be something on the order of like $5 million per spouse and make it easy for spouses to transfer money tax-free from one to the other without a lot of planning. I mean, a lot of the arguments for the estate tax, or a lot of the arguments against the estate tax, have to do with relatively modest estates, like the one that the caller is talking about. You know, I would love to work out with Bill Beach a scheme where we actually would have a comprehensive income tax without the huge loopholes that David K. Johnston has written about, and then have, you know, maybe even replace the estate tax with an inheritance tax with a fairly large exemption.
I want to turn to Mark for just one more second. Mark, before the break, let me just ask you, do you feel you deserve that $2 million?
Oh, absolutely.
Why?
Well, again, he earned it, and it was his to do with what he wanted. It's not like there's some inherited aristocracy here. It's really not that much money.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In the end, you know, they talk about, estates of $1 million and nobody has it. I don't know. You drive around the suburbs of any large city, and there's a lot of three-bedroom homes out there.
Mark, we've got to take a break. Sorry about that simple million you got there. Listeners, should the U.S. repeal the estate tax? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking tonight about the estate tax debate, or what George Bush calls the death tax. George Bush and much of the Republican Party and some others would like to see it abolished. Other Americans would not, including some very wealthy Americans. Warren Buffett says, without the estate tax, you in effect will have an aristocracy of wealth, which means you pass down the ability to command the resources of the nation based on heredity rather than merit. What do you think? Should the U.S. repeal the estate tax? Does an end to the estate tax mean fairness, or does it mean an American aristocracy? If Johnny's dad is rich, does Johnny deserve to be rich, too? You can join us tonight at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. My guests tonight are David K. Johnston, business reporter with the New York Times, William Beach at the Heritage Foundation, and Leonard Berman, a senior fellow at the Urban Institute. You can join us as well. Jerry's calling from Milwaukee. Hi, Jerry. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Great. Well, for pragmatic reasons, I don't think we should repeal the estate tax, because I don't feel that the conservatives would replace it with other tax revenues.
Can you see them slapping in a bunch of new progressive income taxes there?
No, I don't see that at all. I would actually see more tax cuts on things like that and capital gains. And any loss in revenues, you know, you're just going to have to make it up for it. The government's going to have to borrow more in the bond market. So any cut taxes that you're going to cut that you can use for investment, where you're going to have to borrow it out, there's going to be less money to borrow. So it's not going to really have a net effect on the economy.
Jerry, you don't feel obligated then to wrestle with a moral or philosophical issue here. You're practical about it.
Well, there's a practical aspect. I'm looking at the practical aspect. The moral aspect is the idea that you just should just have an aristocracy. I don't think that's necessarily a good thing to have in a democratic society. We're supposed to be a classless society, mm-hmm. and our income structure should reflect that.
Well, I don't know who guaranteed that it would be classless, but there's sure been a lot of effort to make it that way. Jerry, thank you for your call. David K. Johnston, give us a little bit of a history lesson here. The U.S. has swung wildly on this estate tax. It took a long time to get established.
Well, the estate tax was promoted heavily by people like Teddy Roosevelt, the Republican president and one of the progressives. And certainly there were two moving forces on it. The incredible concentration of wealth that we had in the late 1800s and the early 1900s.
Was it greater than the concentration of wealth we have now?
Yes. We have a much wealthier society now. We have a phenomenon we didn't have called the upper middle class, but 50% of the financial wealth in this country is controlled by less than 1%
today
of all Americans. Today.
So that's still
the
fairly
most
concentrated.
We have the most concentrated wealth today that we've had since 1929.
Okay. 1916, was it, that Teddy Roosevelt and company finally got it through?
That's correct. And it was also a war tax at the time. Remember that we had the war to end all wars, even though we hadn't quite gotten into it. That was the argument afforded at the time. The estate tax has clearly had some leveling effect, but one of the things Congress hasn't done, and it's not just the estate tax where they haven't done this, there are a whole variety of areas where Congress gets addicted to money. Politicians like to spend money.
Sure.
So that the alternative minimum tax that's only supposed to deal with very rich people who are aggressive tax avoiders doesn't deal with them anymore, but if you're a single mother making $28,000, you live in Massachusetts, and your husband left you the house, you can end up paying that tax.
Mm-hmm.
The estate tax, it moved way down from big fortunes to people like the gentleman who called in. I mean, $6 million to a lot of people is an enormous amount of money, but in the scheme of wealth in this country,
on Wall Street, it's 1 year's bonus, maybe
that's
less.
Right. That's right. And so plus, the rates were extraordinarily high. I mean, the top rate at one point was 55%
mm-hmm.
on estates.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to the capital gains system, the effective rate will then drop to 20%. But I don't think that this will have a big effect on families, whether they keep the business. When a patriarch or matriarch dies, about 85% of the demands for cash in the estate are not for the estate tax. They're to cash out the relatives who don't want to run the business or don't want to run the farm or want to take cash. Many businesses are not going to survive whether or not we have an estate tax. They have a life cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, the American Leather Company was on the original Dow Jones 10. It's gone along with buggy whips.
Long gone.
AT&T may be gone, and if anything was the stock for widows and orphans. We have a dynamic economy. Things change. The
of course, capital is fungible.
And the
yeah, but they can be poured into new businesses. William Beach, what about the old Teddy Roosevelt argument? Teddy said, the man of great wealth owes a particular obligation to the state because he derives special advantages from the mere existence of government. What's your response as you're prepared to deep six the estate tax?
The people of means pay enormous taxes and have done so throughout the 20th century and will continue to do so in the 21st. We need a better tax system, a tax system that actually does eliminate massive amounts of the loopholes which currently are there primarily to serve those people who can afford lawyers and lobbyists. But, you know, there's just so little evidence that the estate tax has ever delivered on its promise of breaking up great wealth. I mean, David talks about the great concentration of wealth today. Now, this is after almost 100 years of having the estate tax in place at very high tax rates.
Mm-hmm. So there it is, just cruising right on. Irene's calling. Welcome, Irene. You're on the air.
What I think is very, Mr. Johnson has referred to as dishonest aspects of this argument,
mm-hmm.
is that very little is made of the fact that most of the money that flows through estates is not taxed, and I'm talking about estates that go under the estate tax radar, by that wonderful little animal called step-up in basis. And so, Mr. Johnson's kind of referred to that in some of the changes that are coming.
So you're saying estates that are too small, they're beneath the exemption?
Well, for example, it's a huge amount of money that goes untaxed. One of the things we keep hearing is, my grandfather made that money in his lifetime. He paid income taxes.
Yes.
Now that I shouldn't have to pay taxes
yes.
again when he dies. Well, 99% of these people who get estates don't pay a tax on what granddad left when he died, but they get a huge amount of growth in his estate tax.
And how do 99% avoid paying taxes on that?
Well, what happens is that you get as a basis for your acquisition in the property whatever the property was worth on the day that granddad died.
I see.
Not what he paid for it.
But basically,
for example,
you're forgiven capital gains tax when you die.
No, not exactly. When for example, my father and mother bought their house during World War II for
$7,500. Okay.
When my father died, it was worth $150,000.
Mm-hmm.
Had I sold it had I received that house at that time, I didn't, had I received that house in the estate, I would have received it with a basis of $150,000. Had I sold it a year later for $160,000, I would have paid taxes only on the $10,000 difference between the day I inherited and the day I sold it.
But all of that, Irene, flies well under the kind of exemptions we're talking about on the inheritance tax front.
I understand, but it's an issue when people start talking. I think it's ignoring a major amount of money that passes through estates untaxed, and that the people who are advocating in favor of eliminating the estate tax altogether because it's so unfair,
a lot already flows through without being taxed.
And they're not acknowledging that. They're making it sound like when they say granddad made this money, he should be able to pass it on the way he wants to. Well, if he was only passing on exactly what he made or the price of what he sold, you might have a point there.
Irene, we've got it. Thanks for your call. David K. Johnston, I guess, of course, it is true that an awful lot of inheritance is not taxed because it doesn't hit the inheritance tax number. And as Irene says, if it doesn't, then you're paying taxes on a different basis.
Yes. I mean, right now, a couple can leave $2 million that cost them zero to start a business that's worth $2 million, and there's no tax on it. And the tax is never paid. And so a lot of savings escapes tax because of that. There are certainly a lot of people who think that's unfair, but I don't think that's been at all in the mainstream of the debate, and I doubt it would alter the terms of the debate.
I want to understand one thing about the $3.5 million exemption that we're eventually headed for here. Is it $3.5 million? But then it's something else if there's a couple.
$7 million for a couple.
Now, what does that mean exactly? There's mom and dad, and they don't have to die simultaneously to make it.
No. What happens is, and this is, I mentioned this is one of the reforms that hasn't been done. I am entitled to $3.5 million. My wife is entitled to $3.5 million. If you plan in advance, you create something called a credit shelter trust. Whichever one of us dies first, the other one, then you put assets into that trust, and that money is now gotten around the estate tax, and you're allowed to pass $7 million. Plus, you can give away $11,000 a year to each of your kids. I have eight kids. I could give them a lot of money away.
You're a busy man.
And there are lots of ways to expand that number to make it much larger. I mean, I believe if you're in your 40s and start planning now, you can pass about $28 million is the highest number I've seen without being very sophisticated about your planning.
And, of course, a lot of people are very sophisticated about it. I've read statistics that indicate that it's not the biggest fortunes that are the most heavily taxed.
That's correct. It is people who are in this several million dollar bracket who probably never should have been in the estate tax, certainly not the way that Teddy Roosevelt and his cohorts were promoting it, who are most heavily hit by the tax.
Because they're not defended by ranks of lawyers who know how to work all the angles and accountants.
Well, and the way Congress has written the exemptions and the rules that Congress has put into effect and the special rules we give to small businesses, but the caller is fundamentally correct. There's a lot of income that never gets taxed as income. And so when you have an exemption, you add to that. If we taxed every dollar of income in this country, we could have much lower tax rates. That's what we did in '86, and that's what Congress has undone, courtesy of all these campaign contributions they've been collecting from this special interest and that one for the last almost 20 years now.
Making it all more complicated and a lot more favors built in. Irene, thanks for your call. David's calling. Hi, David. You're on the air.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Fine, thanks.
Another great show. I am convinced by all these arguments in favor of the estate tax, but I think a lot of Americans are not, and this tax is the tax is still unpopular because the money is going into the government's general coffers, where a lot of people think it's wasted.
So what would be a more compelling use in your mind, David?
Well, I especially like the stakeholder ideas of Professor Bruce Ackerman, somebody I hope you have on your show sometime. But I'd like to see the tax used specifically to capitalize all Americans when they're early. You know, most Americans don't develop any serious capital until quite late in their life. They can't do anything creative with it. They can't do anything to contribute to the creativity of the economy.
So take the Bill Gates fortune and drop, I don't know what it would be, $5,000 in everybody's savings account.
You could give every 21-year-old something like $100,000. And if capitalism is good for anybody, it should be good for everybody. It should be a right of citizenship.
William Beach at the Heritage Foundation, what do you think about that?
Well, that's not the way capitalism works. I mean, those ideas are compelling. They're attractive. They've been tried. There have been efforts in that direction. We just don't need any more evidence that's an empty idea. What you need to do?
You mean that kind of government redistribution?
Yeah. What you need to do is have a tax system in place that provides revenues to the government and has equal outcomes for the taxpayers. And I'm in favor of people who make 10 times more than me paying 10 times more tax. Let's drive for that. What we have in the estate tax, Tom, is simply something that most people understand is a form of double taxation or multiple taxation. When Irene says it's not taxed, well, you know, she has a technically correct point, but the asset is producing something. It's producing property taxes if it's a home. It's producing income if it's a business. It's producing future income if it's an investment. These assets just don't sit idly by. So no, we shouldn't redistribute income. We shouldn't try things that have failed. We shouldn't try things that have deep-sixed other countries. We should embrace what works, and we should just simply eliminate this antiquated and really kind of ridiculous tax.
David, thanks for your call. David K. Johnston, what do you make of the popularity in opinion polls of repealing the estate tax? You say it would be fewer than 2% of Americans who would benefit, and yet we read something like 70% of Americans, when asked, say they favor ditching this tax.
Well,
why?
First of all, you have to look at different polls and how they ask the question.
Well, give us the range. It's always a majority,
yeah,
isn't it?
Not necessarily.
Really? Okay.
I've seen one poll in which the question was asked, should billionaires be allowed to not have to pay a tax on any of their fortune when they die, and the numbers were much, much smaller.
All right.
You know, if you call it the death tax, that's a political term. It's not the neutral term journalists use, or at least most journalists don't.
And still, you know, there are many more Americans who support it than would benefit from it. Why?
Well, I think that there's been an incredibly good public relations and sales job on this. I mean, I am not a favor of taxicab journalism, but I got in a cab one day at the Times, and the cab driver asked me a couple of questions. I told him about taxes, and he said, oh, yes. He says, you know, when you die, the government takes half your money. And I said, oh, you married? Yeah. You and your wife got $1,400,000? Of course not. Well, the government doesn't take anything. Oh, no, it was on the radio today. I heard Rush say that. Now, I doubt that Limbaugh literally said that, but that's what he heard. And if you have a superficial understanding of these very complex issues, then it's easy to manipulate what your belief system is about it. That's not an argument for or against having the tax. You asked the question about why has public opinion changed.
Yeah.
Because the group of wealthy families led by the Brown family in Orange County, California, have put money into manipulating the public's opinion about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time tonight, but I want you to stay tuned and watch this space. William Beach says this tax is going down. David K. Johnston, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been great having you.
Thank you.
David K. Johnston is business reporter with the New York Times and author of the forthcoming book, Perfectly Legal, The Untold Story of the Campaign to Cheat 99% of America. William Beach, thanks to you as well for being with us tonight.
Thank you.
And Leonard Berman, thank you for joining us from Arlington, Virginia.
My pleasure.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Good night.